And good afternoon and evening. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Quarter. It's the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson's in downtown Maryville. We've got a really good show on hand tonight. We'll have with us Northwest Women's Golf Coach Pat McLaughlin. Also, the women's golfer Cassie Lowe is the MIAA Women's Golfer of the Week. So, Cassie, welcome up, and we will hear about her week. That's all coming up here in just a little bit. And, of course, we'll be talking Bearcat football with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell, as they've got a nice trip ahead of them this weekend as they travel down to Tahlequah, Oklahoma to face Northeastern State. And Matt Gorder, it's going to be another fun weekend of sports around Northwest Missouri State.
And by nice trip, you meant long trip to Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. Long for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, it has definitely been a similar week in that we've seen a lot more Bearcat success. Fall is so great because there are so many different teams that are in action, and just seems like just about any day of the week you can find some Bearcat squad somewhere, whether it be on a course, a court, a field, in action, and that's awesome. I love this time of year.
And support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. And as always, we want to thank Carson, Renee, and the waitstaff for all the work they do for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show every Thursday evening here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Also, don't forget, if you have any questions for any of our guests tonight, to pick up one of the question cards and bring them over to Rodney or to the booth here, and we'll pass those along to our guests as the evening goes along. And we want to thank Northwest Assistant Athletic Director for Media Relations, Marshall Fay, for all of his work for helping make our program every Thursday a success as well. We also have several giveaways throughout the show, so stay tuned here and enjoy the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot coming up on our program tonight, and up next will be Northwest Women's Golf Coach Pat McLaughlin, and we'll talk to Pat right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. I'd like to welcome now to our microphones the head coach of the Northwest Women's Golf Team, Pat McLaughlin.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And Pat, it's good to have you with us on the program tonight. And we were talking a little bit earlier, Matt and I, about the long trip we've got ahead of us this weekend down to Oklahoma for Northeastern State. Your team's put in a few miles as well this fall so far. Most of your trip's been going up north.
Yes, we have. We've been burning up the tires on the van, that's for sure.
And I think a trip to Minnesota, a couple of that direction. Then this past Monday and Tuesday out to Kearney, Nebraska for the UNK Invitational. And talk a little bit about that. A second place finish as a team. And Cassie Lowell, we'll talk more with Cassie a little bit about a second place finish there. But overall, how did the tournament out at UNK turn out for you?
You know, really well, John. We needed to bounce back. We didn't have our best outing at Southwest Minnesota, and it was important for us to be able to come back with a real good outing. And we were actually leading on their home course after the first day by a couple of strokes, and it took a school record by UNK to beat us the second day. But the girls played really well, and you mentioned Cassie Lowell, who will be on here soon. You know, to go out and to play a Wari Dunes and shoot a 75 is just amazing. And Taylor Gard put back-to-back 80s together. Those kind of scores, teams are hard to beat when they're posting those kind of scores. We had a few penalties with the layout of the course as it was, but overall I was very pleased with the way the girls hung in there, and to only be beaten by the host team and to be leading after day one, that was a good way to come back and kind of get our confidence back in time for our home tournament.
What kind of challenges did the course present to you?
Well, it's very much a dunes course out in that sand hills of Nebraska. In fact, their little slogan says where Ireland meets the heartland, and that's exactly what it was. It was just like you would expect. There were lots of sand wastelands, and the wind was blowing, and lots of native grass, if you want to call it that. And the greens were huge, but they had multi-tiers. They even had sprinklers on them. They were so large. So our greens in regulation really this last weekend looked very good, but sometimes our putting averages were a little higher. But taking all that into consideration, it was a new course that none of the girls had played before, and a difficult course, and I felt like the team handled it very well.
Looked, too, like you were going up against a few schools that you don't normally have a chance to play every year.
That's true, and that's one of the reasons that we picked this particular tournament. The Division II schools that you know, you run into around the Kansas City area or through the conference, and we wanted to play a different venue and at the same time, like you say, see some different schools, and we did that, and we were able to fortunately overcome, you know, anything that they brought to the table. But it's kind of nice sometimes just to kind of see something different, go someplace different, and have that excitement of playing different teams and kind of the unknown, if you will, and before we come back and do our home tournament and then the MIAA tournament in a couple of weeks. It's a mandatory tournament where we'll see all the teams in the conference plus some from the other teams in the region. So it was a nice break from the norm, if you will.
Now you've gone up north for a couple of tournaments. Talk a little bit about heading north and playing the courses in that direction.
Well, the course up in Southwest Minnesota, we had gone out there last year, decided to return this year because it's a nice venue. It's one of those places like going to Tahlequah. We can't really get there from anywhere. you just keep going north, and you pass through Iowa and into South Dakota, and you just keep going, and then finally they tell you to turn to Minnesota, and then you keep going. But at the same time, it was a good venue, and we were tied for fifth after the first day, a three-way tie, and we had a couple of freshmen that had qualified for us well, and that freshman jitters, I think, got to them and didn't perform as well as they'd been playing, and kind of cost us some spots in that tournament. But it's a learning experience, and the young kids need to come up there and be able to make that transition as well.
Now, again, as we were talking about earlier, we're taking questions from the people here in attendance at Carson's tonight as well. And Larry Rusko wants to know about what you attribute the success to your team to this year.
Well, I really think it's the dedication of the players over the summer. Beginning last year, we started having year-round, if you will, workouts, year-round playing, and with the simulator that we have on campus now, where we're able to get in out of the weather and to use that indoor facility, the girls can essentially play golf year-round, and that makes a huge difference. This last summer, we had a summer preparation plan to come forward so that they were ready to play golf this fall, including the freshmen, and I think they really committed to that, because when we went down to William Jewell, we shoot in our very first tournament of the year a school record 309. That doesn't come without a lot of work on behalf of those young ladies over the summer to come in prepared like that.
It looks too on you. You follow the scores as they come in, that you have a very balanced team and a pretty deep team this year.
We do. We have some upperclassmen that have provided that leadership that we needed. Taylor Gard has been very consistent. Cassie continues to play week after week at a very high level. She's in the top five always. This last tournament at UNK, we had all four girls were in the top 10. Coach can't ask for much better than that.
And again, the program's been program building from scratch, and it seems like each year you see a marked improvement out of this team. And last year you had a heck of a season. It looks like things are continuing to build on that this season as well.
Well, that's what we want to do, just exactly. The successes that we had last year, the girls were very disappointed. We were ninth in the region going into the last vote, and they take the top nine teams. We got skipped by another Northern Sun school. We kind of felt the sting of that, and I think the girls came back going, we're not going to let that happen this year. And it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of practice and a lot of hours at the golf course, but they've dedicated themselves to do that. And that's really what leads to that success.
I've got a big meet coming up here in the next week. You talked a little bit about that earlier, but the Bearcat tournament coming up, a chance for fans to maybe get out and watch some very high-quality golf coming up out in Mazinga.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the shout-out on that. That's exactly right. We would love to have some people come out and watch the girls. Just today, I'll bet seven or eight people came up and asked if they could come out, actually, and watch the team play because they're excited about their success as well. And I told them to be sure and come out, take some time. We're teeing off a shotgun start at 10 o'clock on Monday, 9 o'clock on Tuesday. Figure about 4 hours of playing time. So if you have it in your schedule, please come out, support the Northwest Golf Team, and you're going to see some really good golf. The way they've been playing, I'm very excited about what's coming forward.
Who are some of the teams that will be coming in for that?
Missouri Western will be here. Unfortunately, we dropped to them in the Southwest Minnesota tournament. William Jewell will be here. We barely beat William Jewell at their home tournament by two strokes. Rockhurst was ahead of us at the William Jewell tournament until the second day when we jumped in front of them. All teams that are very competitive with us. Southwest Baptist is coming in as another MIAA representative. And then we also have Park University, which usually has some pretty good players as well, come in. Bellevue University and a couple community colleges. Iowa Western, who went to the Nationals in junior college golf last year, who they're trying to elevate their play as well. And it's also a good way for coaches to showcase their talent. So at the end of 2 years for transferability, and their coach, in fact, has already contacted me about a couple of girls that he has on the team that he'd like for me to look at while they're here. So it may be a good recruiting time as well.
Well, not a bad place to bring them into.
Absolutely not. And they get to see exactly the kind of facilities that they would be working at and playing with, too. And so we're always looking for that continuation of this high level of play.
So it's a good tune-up as well for the conference tournament then?
It is. I believe it's a good tune-up. The girls are playing well. We have a week off in between, and it's pretty late in the playing season for our team. But it will give us some time, actually, to heal up some shoulders, some backs, some knees, and get some practice of some skills in where we're not just qualifying for the next tournament all the time, and actually work on some things that maybe need to be worked on before that conference tournament. And those things are all important, too. You get so involved in the season that you're playing every Monday and Tuesday, and then you qualify every Thursday and Friday. There's not much time in there to work on things, and so this will give us a chance to do that.
Who will be some of the teams that you'll be concerned about when you get to the conference tournament?
Well, always Central Oklahoma and Northeast Oklahoma. They bring in two nationally ranked programs to our conference, and so they're obviously the teams to beat. Central Oklahoma has consistently consistently over the last several years proven to be the team to go after. I'm going to brag a little bit on our team again. When we were down at the Drury Tournament, we tied with Northeast Oklahoma. The Northeast Oklahoma coach was not very happy about that. I was ecstatic, but he wasn't nearly as happy. So, but I think what it does is show our players that they have the capability of playing with a team that's nationally ranked, and that, you know, they put their golf shoes on the same way we do.
Well, it's been a good season up to this point for your team.
It has. You know, you start every season with a lot of excitement and anticipation, and as the season's gone on, it seems like the girls just keep getting better and better, and that's exactly what you want to happen. We come in, we do very well, and we just want to continue that success, and it sure makes the winter months a lot better.
Oh, I bet so. I bet so. Now, coming up next, we'll be talking with one of your players, Cassie Lowell. What should people know about that Cassie that maybe they don't know about?
Oh, goodness, Cassie, she's staring at me. Don't say that, Coach. No, I won't reveal any secrets about Cassie. You can ask her that question, but I will tell you that the girl works very, very hard at what she does, takes it very seriously, and at the same time, she's a good role model for the other girls on the team. She's a senior captain. She's been a captain, actually, for 3 years now, and you don't get that by not having good leadership skills. And showing the kind of moxie that you have to have week after week. She's gone through two knee surgeries, in fact, while she's been at Northwest, and she's still playing at this level. So that shows you what kind of young lady she is.
All right, well, Pat, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it very much.
Again, that's Pat McLaughlin, the head women's golf coach at Northwest Missouri State. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll hear from Cassie Lola, the off team. And that will be coming up as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and we continue to talk women's golf at Northwest Missouri State with Cassie Lowell. But before we talk with Cassie, we've got a couple of things to give away here. First of all, we have a student body gift card that will go to Jim Bagby of Maryville. So Jim Bagby of Maryville gets a student body gift card. And we also have a bottle cooler that will go to Harold Wilmus of Maryville. So Harold Wilmus, also a winner of a bottle cooler. And come over and see Rodney just to my left, probably your right, and get all the details on that. And again, as I mentioned, Cassie Lowell is joining us from the women's golf team. And Cassie, it's been a good week for you. Just named yesterday the MIAA Women's Golfer of the Week in the conference.
Yes, it has been. That was very good news to hear, actually.
Coming off a good performance in the Nebraska Kearney tournament on Monday and Tuesday. Unfortunately, I guess for you, had a one-hole playoff on Tuesday, but finishing second in that event. But just talk a little bit about the tournament overall and then going into that playoff on Tuesday.
It was a unique course, to say the least. We've never played anything like that before, so it was neat to get out there and play a course we've never seen. Definitely took adjusting. The practice round helped a lot, showed us where we need to hit our shots and where we should play the ball each time. Some good competition. It's always good to see UNK out there. They have some really good players. I played with Anna the first day, who actually made it to regionals last year, and I've never played with her before, so that was good. Unfortunately, in the playoff, it was an interesting hole for me. I parred it, actually. Don't know how. We're not sure about that. But she birdied it, and, I mean, it's okay to lose, I guess, in a playoff to a birdie. Better that than me bogey and she par, so.
Well, it's still a fine performance, and a performance, again, that got you the Conference Player of the Week. So something nice to have with you there.
Yes, it is. It's always good to go out there and shoot 75. I mean, you can never complain about that.
Yeah, as a team, the team did very well and a great first round in that tournament for you.
Yeah, the team actually played well. The course conditions were tricky. I'm glad everyone adjusted. The wind changed both days, which kind of made the second day play a little bit harder. Some solid scores. As Coach was saying, the huge greens made our putting averages probably go up a little bit, but that's all right because we were hitting greens and fairways. I just can't complain. I had two birdies the first day, which were great. They helped a lot, and I just played the course as well as I could.
We talked to Coach McLaughlin about this a little bit, but you guys have put in a lot of miles this season, covering a lot of ground for some of these tournaments.
Yeah, we do travel quite a bit, and that's what it gets to play some teams that we've never seen before and play some courses we've never seen before. The car rides are always interesting. Usually the way up we sleep and the way back we're wired for a little bit.
What kind of challenges does that have, again, when you have some tournaments like on Monday and Tuesdays as far as the classwork and things where you have to juggle a lot of different things at the same time?
It makes the rest of the week very busy. Between practicing and qualifying and all the tournaments, we do miss a lot of class. The teachers are pretty good. They understand as long as you communicate with them and let them know when you're going to be there and what you need to make up. So it's always good to have the support of the teachers because they know that we're out there doing something we love and something that's representing Northwest.
Now, you're coming in as a captain again this year, a senior on this team, and just talk a little bit about some of the goals that you had set coming into your senior season.
Oh, man. Senior season is scary to say. But definitely last year, the end, I thought I'd played well all season, and unfortunately I didn't make it to go on to regionals. That's definitely a big goal for me this year, is to make it on to regionals and secure that spot rather than being tied with somebody else. Also, stroke average under 80 is my goal this year. I've been improving on my stroke average every year, and I just want to keep that going.
You've been a part of this program and really seen this program improve and build through your time here at Northwest. So what's been some of the big keys you see to the success through the years that this team has been having?
It definitely has improved a ton. My first year in, we were doing well, and it's just gotten better ever since. I think that our recruiting has helped a lot, and the success of the team has helped that recruiting. People seeing that this program can flourish and keep going has definitely helped us bring in more girls. I know that it also helps to get girls from the same area. Taylor Gard, I actually knew coming into here, and we helped kind of guide her to come here. And so it helps knowing girls, like playing in the summer with the Kansas women's program, definitely helps learn a lot of names that we can refer on to Coach and he can get a hold of.
Now, you talk about Kansas. You come from Concordia, Kansas. Talk a little bit about golf in Concordia and making your way to Northwest.
Golf in Concordia. Well, it's a small town in the middle of nowhere. I actually grew up, I had a driving range for maybe 8 years of my life, so after that I would go hit in a field, typical what you think of playing in Kansas, I guess. And I had grew up no bunkers, little 9-hole course, so it was definitely great to be able to come here and play in a college and have all of the different with the driving range and the amazing course we have out at Mazingo. My dad was a huge part of that. He would just take me out, and we worked a lot with short game, which is what my strongest part of my game is. and that's definitely helped a lot. We traveled. It feels like I've been traveling my whole life for golf. We traveled all summer, and he would take me to all the Kansas tournaments, and that was definitely a huge help.
So was golf something that you were interested in and felt like you had a talent at a very early age then?
Yeah, I've been playing as long as I can remember. I never thought I wanted to play college golf. I thought it'd be too time-consuming. And then my senior year rolled around in high school, and I was like, I'm not ready to give this up. So I decided to move on, and that was when I started looking at more schools, and I found Northwest.
Hey, what attracted you to Northwest?
I just love the school. There were a few different schools I had visited prior to coming here, and I was pretty set on going to another one. Not going to name it because they're in our conference, but pretty set on going somewhere else. And I came and visited here just on a whim. My dad's like, let's just go check it out. We're actually on our way up to a Kansas tournament in Iowa. So we just kind of passed through, and I'd met with Coach, and we'd been in contact, and I visited the campus, and I instantly knew that I loved Maryville, and I loved the campus, and this is where I wanted to be.
Now, I've seen you in a couple classes as well in the Mass Communications Department. Talk a little bit about your major.
I'm actually in Journalism and PR, Public Relations, double major. I added PR pretty late, and so now I'm catching back up on some journalism classes, as you know, from broadcast journalism. But it's been a great major. The people in that department are so good. And like I said earlier, they all work with us so well. And not only that, but the students in the department are so open, and they'll help you out whenever you need. And it's been fun. And it's very hands-on. I'm actually in some practicum and working with different things. So it's definitely fun to be hands-on and actually working with what you kind of want to do in the future.
All right. Well, Cassie, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's Cassie Lowell of the Northwest Missouri State Women's Golf Team. And again, Cassie, this week's MIAA Women's Golfer of the Week. And stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Matt will be up next, and he will be talking with the new head women's basketball coach at Northwest Missouri State, as Michael Smith will join us. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
And we're back out at Carson's in downtown Maryville as we continue to talk Bearcat sports on the Bearcat Coaches Show. Before we talk some Northwest women's basketball, a couple of more items to give away here from the student body. First, a gift card for the student body, and that goes to John Chapman out of Maryville. So, John, a winner of a gift card and a Northwest T-shirt. That will go to Connor Pruitt, also from Maryville, and I'm guessing by the reaction, it's right down there. So he may have to grow into it, but that's okay. Start the Bearcat fans young. That's how we like to see it. So, again, we're talking some Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. Michael Smith joins us, and of course, the new women's basketball coach. And, Michael, we've kind of chatting a little bit here beforehand. I know always coaches before seasons and before you get into practice would like to have more time and that sort of thing, but I'm guessing it's a little bit higher with you being new to the program and that sort of thing, probably feeling like you just want to get out there full time and get practicing full time.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Matt. You know, it's October 15th can't get here soon enough. We've with the NCAA, we're only allowed to work with our players in the preseason on the court for 2 hours a week. So, you know, the time of the hire, kids had already gone home for the summer. During the summer, we're not allowed to work with them. We did have about 90% of our team on campus over the summer, which was great for them. They got a chance to be around each other, but they'd stop by the office, you know, and visit. It wasn't quite the same, but at least I kind of got familiar with names and faces and things. So, you know, it was nice for them to be around. I worked with, you know, Joe Quinlan and our staff this summer in the weight room. Did a tremendous job, you know, with our kids. And so we started the fourth day of classes. We're allowed to do it. We hit the ground running. Staff's new. Got some new players, obviously. Once I got the job, we were fortunate enough to sign four more players to bring in, three transfers and a high school player. So it's always nice to get some transfers in. That gives us some instant experience in a tough league like the MIAA is. And yeah, we've been going. We've been getting our 2 hours worth every week, along with conditioning in the weight room and some film action. So. Yeah. October 15, like I said, we're ready for it. I know that.
Well, I guess one thing that's a big key is coming in from Truman State, at least you've got a good feel for the league and what it's going to take to be successful.
Yeah, it is. It's a heck of a league. You know, been in MIAA the last 5 years over there at Truman, and then my time before, when I was a graduate assistant here at Northwest, the league has changed a little bit. It's grown, expanded. The players are a little bigger. The players are a little faster. To do that, so it's nice that we have the opportunity to kind of keep up with that, with the resources and things that we have here at Northwest. And it's just one of the many attractions that we have, both from a coaching staff and from a recruiting standpoint, to do that. So the MIAA is tough as ever. You know, we're going to more of a two divisions this year. Last year, I think it was a pod schedule, three pods of five or something. This year, we're going two divisions of eight. So obviously, in the future, we don't know. It seems like it's changed every year from a women's basketball standpoint. But, you know, right now we're just worried about Northwest and trying to get better every day.
Now, I know coaches, and you even mentioned this when you first came on campus, you have your style of basketball that you want to play and that sort of thing. For the first year, maybe even 2 years, when you do have some players that were already in the program mixed in with the new ones, as you mentioned, what do you try to do for that first year where it may not be exactly like you will eventually want to get it?
You're exactly right. I mean, it's been tough. Obviously, we took a big hit, you know, a couple weeks ago with the injury to Maggie, and so I feel bad for her. She had a great summer, worked hard, you know, come off the returning leading scorer, all conference honorable mention last year, but she's still been every day at every workout, going through her rehab right now. So hopefully we'll have her back in the spring, and for sure in the summer and next fall she'll be ready to go. But, you know, as you mentioned, we're just trying to put our stamp on things right now. We're trying to do the best that we can. You know, the best thing is I think we've got a good group of kids that got a taste of the MIAA tournament. I think I know my teams in the past that when we were able to get to Kansas City and understand that all that hard work and what it means to be able to play in, you know, downtown Kansas City and Municipal, makes them a little hungrier. And so we had a bunch here over the summer. We've got, we got potentially all five starters back, you know, from last year's team that won 15 games in MIAA. So, you know, they're experienced, which is good. Honestly, it would have been scary walking into a situation with a bunch of freshmen and sophomore, but we got two seniors, and then we got a ton of juniors, and then we got a few, you know, sophomores and freshmen to mingle in with the bunch. So, we're trying to build it the way we want to. You know, I've gone through it before where we've adapted to the players that we have, but I honestly believe in what we're going to do here at Northwest. So I said from day one, regardless of the outcome, we're going to do the way that I feel like I've had success at in the past. You know, I'm an old school basketball guy, man-to-man defense and motion offense, and those two things are completely different than what this group has been used to in the past. So, you know, we're having to do a lot of teaching right now, but more importantly, we're able to get to know each other from that standpoint, because, you know, we're in the film. They're stopping by the office. Coach, what'd you mean when you said this yesterday? You know, and I said, well, get your notebooks out and let's see what you wrote down and things. So, we're learning all this together. even as a staff right now, and I've got a great staff, I feel like, put together, a hungry staff that's anxious to get going here in the league.
When you talk about losing somebody the caliber of Maggie Martin and what she's done, obviously you are already in a, not necessarily a constant adjustment mode, but you're adjusting and getting a feel for everything. That kind of keeps you in that mode, or you are already in that mode instead of, you know, having something totally established. Where do you look now at that position with Maggie out for the year?
Well, we've got good experience back at Annie Matthews. You know, she played in some four and some five. Honestly, Annie's going to be a better five for me in my system. I like for our four to be able to step out, put the ball on the floor, shoot it. We're probably going to move Timber over to a four, Annie to a five. We were very, very fortunate to bring in a Division I transfer from Bradley University, a 6'2" post player. That's got some experience at the Division I level. And so when, you know, her and Maggie were going at it pretty good there before Maggie went down, you know, 6'2", 6'3" bodies in practice. Maggie had never had that before. It's always been just her. So we've got solid depth, I believe. I think we got some good kids. As I mentioned, I think we got some hungry kids. I told them from day one that we weren't going to, you know, there was not going to be any excuses about anything. We knew, everybody knows that this is the third coach in 3 years, and it doesn't matter. We're going to show up, and we're going to play basketball, we're going to lace up our shoes, and we're going to work hard.
Do you kind of find that the team has been working knowing that, you know, maybe their position that they had last year isn't dead set because you are new and they need to prove themselves and that sort of thing? Are you finding that they're working that way right now?
I really do. You know, one of the girls had kind of mentioned, I got wind of it from the locker room the other day, is that, hey, none of our spots are secure. You know, we might have started 25, 26 games last year. And so when I heard that, you know, that made me feel good, at least, because I know, and it shows in their work ethic. I mean, we've been getting up early, every morning early, getting with the strength and conditioning program, and going out and running some stairs in the football stadium, and you know, and it shows that they're really hungry, and I think that I think we got a chance to be pretty good once we start to figure things out here pretty quick.
Really seems like things like that, the early morning workouts and the hard workouts, when mid to late January and then into February rolls around, that's when that really will start to pay off.
Yeah, I you know, we have the same strength coach now for the second year, and I met with him the other day when I was also talking with you know, with them, and he said that he was very pleased at this point last year. From this year to last year, they're way ahead of where they were last year. So as a coach, you always like to feel that. You like to, you know, hear that. Obviously, it's a year of maturity, but as you mentioned, I think the hunger is there. They know nothing's secure. We brought in some depth. We brought in some people late, some transfers that are going to bow, you know, fight for some of those positions. So that's what we need, is competition every day in practice. And I think last year it really hurt them. They didn't have the depth that they needed. Obviously, I got a chance to scout them, you know, from when we were playing in the MIAA, and you know, they had to work with what they had. Well, I really believe that we can come in every day and we can, you know, start 8 or 9 different players right now. I really do. Now, the key for any team is staying healthy, you know, having a little bit of luck. But, you know, like I said, we're going to play one game at a time, prepare for each game, and see what happens come March.
And you'll have a couple of weeks of practice to get ready before you get into that exhibition game and the schedule gets started.
Yep.
That's already got to look like a really short window for you, even though you haven't started there yet.
Yeah, when the school first starts, you think, oh, you know, it's going to take forever to get here. Now you look down and we're, you know, less than 2 weeks, I think, from first practice, and then we have to take that mandatory day off, and then we've got 2 preseason close scrimmages before our exhibition. So when you count the actual days that you have to teach on the court, they're getting, you know, shorter and shorter in between. So we've got to make the most out of our best time. It's great. Obviously, we have the resources, you know, the practice facility that we have, and in Bearcat Arena, obviously. There's no excuse for our kids not to come in and be prepared and get some shots in. I'm starting to see that more and more. I talked with our graduate assistant. It's her second year here with the program. And some of these kids, she said she never saw them in the gym last year. Well, now they're starting to come in on their own and work on it, because we only get 2 hours a week. So,
yeah,
honestly, there's not a lot we can get done in 2 hours. So, you know, whenever she's telling me that, too, that makes me understand these kids are pretty hungry.
All right, Coach. Well, you know, good luck this season. I know you get a little bit of time before you officially get started full on, but look forward to talking to you throughout this year.
We're looking forward as well. Thank you very much.
That's Michael Smith, the head women's basketball coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, like you mentioned, the basketball teams will get on the court for the official start of practice on October 15th, and we'll be following both Bearcat basketball teams throughout the season along the Bearcat Radio Network. It's time to move on to talk some Northwest Missouri State football, as they've got a trip down to Oklahoma coming up this weekend, and we will do that with the head coach of the Northwest football team, Adam Dorrell, right after this. You're listening to the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, and we're joined now by the head coach of the Northwest football team, Adam Dorrell. And AD, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
A good win for your team this past Saturday, a victory over Nebraska Kearney, and again, one of those games where you're able to take care of business early in the contest.
Yeah, I was proud of our kids' effort. I thought we came out and played really hard and executed at a high level. And I thought our defense played really well. Obviously, when you're playing a team like that, we really moved the ball the week before versus Missouri Western. It was good defense, but I was very proud of our defensive effort, and I feel like we really fed off that. And, of course, you know, they kind of pinned themselves against the wind. They took the football, and we were able to take the wind. And three and out, three and out, three and out, and their punter was struggling into that wind a little bit. And we had great field position on our first three drives, and we were able to put them in. And so that really just got us going, and we never looked back.
You know, we've talked a lot about good starts and that sort of thing, but I really thought with this game especially is not only did they have a good start, but when you got out to a good quick lead, they kind of kept the foot on the gas pedal, kept playing hard. They didn't really have too many moments of relaxation, which can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think it helps as we, in all facets, offense and defense, we play a lot of kids, so I really think that helps there. And the way we were scoring and the defense was going three and out, some of those guys that are on a rotation, especially defensively, they didn't get in. You know, they weren't getting into their plays until maybe that fourth or fifth drive that Kearney had the football. So that certainly helps that situation, too.
One of the things that Matt Longenker talked about on our post-game show Saturday afternoon, too, he felt that defensively last week they were really focused in on and made a point to be focused on the game plan going into that matchup, maybe a little better than what the defense was in the previous game or two.
Yeah, I think so. I think their preparation was really good last week. And that's when I say, you know, preparation, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On the field, and it, mentally it really starts Monday getting into the video room and doing. They got to do stuff on their own Monday, and certainly they thought they had a good week of practice, and if you know the kids think that, it's usually a good sign on Saturday, and they certainly got out there and got off to a great start.
Longacre got some recognition this week in the MIAA, and I would think that would be something that would be hard for players on your team, not because they're not good enough, but just because, like you just mentioned, you play so many guys. On an honor that might be statistically driven, it's hard for guys to get a lot of stats.
Yeah, it is, man. And one of the things that, you know, I learned a long time ago, and then, you know, now being in my third year going into those all-conference meetings at the end of the year. I really feel good about the head coaches in our league. I understand that and recognize that, and not just with us, but you know some of the top-tier teams in the league that they know, looking at the scores that some of their kids weren't playing throughout, and they're always going to give the nod to the kid that had the better season. And it's great to see guys, coaches that can recognize that and do that, because that's certainly some of the things that can hurt your kids a little bit. And we've never been individual accolades driven football program, but from a recruiting standpoint, when you're able to advertise you had X amount of All-Americans, X amount of All-Conference kids, Conference Defensive Players of the Year, it really makes a difference in recruiting. So it's great that they can do that, but yeah, it's certainly hurts. And Longacre, I'm not sure. I told him I don't know how he got the defensive player of the week when Bevins is the one who actually made the play. I was like, how's that work? You're standing right there and that egg bounces, I mean, literally right into his hands. Any of us three could have scored on that play.
Yeah, I was going to say, he couldn't help but score.
The kids were on him pretty good Tuesday when we found that out. So
thanks for the credit, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know that I could have scored, but
Well, now you've had a couple of linemen been able to take the ball into the end zone so far this season.
Yeah, it's great to see, man. It's that's kind of one of those big guys' dreams come true. And the ultimate dream is for an offensive lineman to score a touchdown. And it's, I think in all my years here, I think I've seen it happen one time. If you remember Southwest Baptist, like maybe in 05, the ball popped out. I think it was even the wrong call because it should have came back to the 1 yard line. But one of our third or fourth string O linemen jumped on the ball in the end zone. So yeah, that's a rarity when you see O linemen do it.
Well, you talk about O linemen trying to score. You got so many guys on offense that are touching the ball right now. It's a rarity for almost anybody because so many guys are contributing.
It helps. It really does. Everything's done on a, I try to tell people, this software everybody uses called Huddle. Everything's done on that. So it spits out numbers. That's all it does. All you have to do is input the route combination, who's catching the football, and it just spits everything out for you. And so from a strategic standpoint, we always do self-scouts every 3 weeks, and when we're spitting that stuff out, right now we're tough to defend from a standpoint of you don't know who's going to get the football, and that's great. That's the way we want it to be, and I think it makes us a good offense.
One thing that's been impressive too, when you get into the red zone, I think the offensive line's just done a great job opening up some holes. We saw last Saturday a couple of touchdown runs by Billy Creason where nobody was even close to touching him getting into the end zone.
Yeah, we've been playing pretty well up front, we feel like, and I feel like our pass protection's improved a lot this year compared to last. And, that's a tribute to those guys. They've worked really hard. And, again, I think competition is really feeding what we're doing right now. We're playing six offensive linemen and even seven. Petrov's coming in there some too. So I think that really helps guys just play hard consistently.
Yeah, you mentioned you've seen a couple of decent defensive lines, or those guys have, and even like with Kearney, you saw some different things where they had four guys up and moving around, and weren't in stances at the snap. That's got to be a little bit tougher to work against as well.
Yeah, it does. We saw it the week before. We call it the radar defense, and not many people run it anymore. So obviously, when you see it on film the week before, it really helps you get prepared. But last year, when we were up there week three, we hadn't seen that on film, and they popped out on us. And that's something that's a little bit more difficult to adjust to on the sideline, and you do the best you can. But I was proud of our kids. We didn't have many mental busts, and we weren't giving up free rushers into the backfield.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell, on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll talk more with AD in just a moment as we'll look ahead toward Northeastern State and the trip down to Tahlequah, Oklahoma. We do have a reminder here that as far as a giveaway here, the Northwest ball cap will go to Shanna Wallace of Maryville. So, again, Shanna Wallace of Maryville, the winner of a Northwest ball cap. And don't forget, if you have some questions for Adam, bring those up to the table here, and we'll pass those along as well. We'll be back and talk more with Coach Dorrell right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. Also, our sideline reporter Chris Roush is with us as he's been working the crowd and bringing up some of the names of the winners that we've been passing along and some of the questions from the crowd as well. We're joined again by the head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell, and AD, a trip down to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, in a place that you're not totally unfamiliar with.
No, it's I haven't been back for a few years, and we're very excited about the trip down. It's beautiful campus, good, beautiful part of the woods, and homecoming. It's their homecoming, so we're very excited about that. And we're going to leave tomorrow, stay in Tulsa, practice over there, and get up and drive in the morning. So we're excited. We have a lot of fun on the road. Kids enjoy being with each other, and again, we talked about before, we do things right, and the kids enjoy that. So it'll be good bonding time for us.
You got to feel a little more comfortable as coaches on the road, because I'm sure the number of distractions are a little bit less. Not like they used to be, now that they're cell phones
right.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a little bit fewer distractions, so they're a little more focused on football.
Yeah, I think so. And that's not, we don't ever worry about that a whole lot here. I'm more worried about the kids that are redshirting, on the home games. But it's certainly, there's just not a lot to do other than interact with each other on the road, watch film, and, play games. And just do little things that help team bonding, team camaraderie, which obviously I think is very important to your success, especially I think down the stretch when things get tough. So yeah, we've always played pretty well on the road, and I think it's just kind of our mindset with our kids, and always kind of have that old motto, road dogs, and it's something they've been embracing for a long time, and guys bring it up, and so it's great to see.
When you look at Northeastern State's roster, and their two deep roster in particular, it looks like there's been quite a bit of turnover from the last year's squad with them.
Yeah, they really have. John, you and I talked about that this morning. I'm not sure for that. They've also, I know this year it's been really tough. They've had a lot of injuries, and we don't know who's going to play and who's not going to play, but their defensive line, I thought, was pretty decent defensive line in week one and week two. And since that time, they've really sustained a couple. I mean, they're missing their starting defensive end, starting nose tackle, and starting defensive tackle. And, any program that's losing that many starters on the D-line, it's going to affect you. And so, maybe the kids will be back. We prepared like they will be back, because I think that's what you need to do. But missing a linebacker, they were down to their third-string quarterback last week at the end of the Emporia game. So we'll see who comes out there, and we'll play hard regardless.
And talking about that, you face some teams with some 0-for records here. Obviously, if you look at the schedule, it looks heavy on the back end. How do you keep the guys focused and make sure like they're playing, play like they're playing a 4-0 team instead of an 0-4 team or something like that?
Well, we talk about it a little bit, and I think it's something you need to do. You need to embrace that. And whether we're playing a team like that, one of the things we've always talked about is just doing our best, having great preparation, and going out and playing hard with a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, because we have the type of talent, if we do that, a lot of times you're going to win the football game. And so that's really our focus going into a game like this. It's not always just about winning or losing. It's about getting better as a football team, correcting the mistakes that we need to correct from last week, We've always done a really good job, I think, of building onto our schemes as the season goes, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And you're going to see some new wrinkles Saturday that we haven't seen this year. And, again, I think that goes back to, let's talk about that computer spit out. When we're throwing new stuff in there each and every week, the next opponent's got, now they're going to have 5 to 6 weeks of stuff going. It's hard to get a beat on these guys. And so we've certainly done that again. And I think that really keeps our kids engaged mentally and not just worrying about the opponent we're playing, but we're really challenging them each and every day mentally at practice with new stuff. And so I certainly think that helps too.
What do you see as some of the keys to this matchup Saturday?
Well, I think we need to go down there and get off to a good start, John. I mean, when I was down there, homecoming was big. And my understanding is homecoming's still pretty big there. And so they'll have a good crowd. And we need to go down there and get off to a good start. And as I told the kids down there at practice, I don't care who gets us on the board, but somebody get us on the board early. And that's what I'm going to be our focus offensively, defensively, special teams, try to be aggressive early. I think that's important. Pretty good chance for rain, it sounds like. So in a game like that, ball security needs to be on a premium for us. We've done a really good job with winning the turnover battle this year. And we're really been focused on that this week and going to try to do that again. And just the other thing that we've talked about all week is coming out playing Bearcat football, playing with a lot of energy, playing with a lot of emotion, enthusiasm, and whether we're playing a team that's 0-4 or we're playing the 85 Chicago Bears, we're going to come out and play hard and play with a lot of energy. And so those are things I want to see from our guys early.
When you talk about knowing that there could be a chance of rain, does that change the thinking for coaches on how you might plan play calls, or do you just want the guys to take care of the football and doing what you want them to do?
Yeah, you do a few little things going in. It's kind of crazy. Some of the things that we do is we're allowed to use two different footballs as far as a Wilson 101 and a Wilson something else, and I've never thrown a football in my life, I can honestly say. So, but according to the quarterbacks, we've got an orange football that's more of a bad weather ball and another one that's not. So it starts with little things like that. You double laminate all your scripts and your wristband stuff so they don't get water in there and leak, and just doing little things like that. A lot of the kids will go to a longer cleat if it is wet. But as far as play calling, it kind of just depends on how it's coming down, to be real honest with you. That rain last week was, nothing. I don't remember Arrowhead last year. That was coming down significantly at times, which does alter the game. I mean, you're trying to literally, when you have the ball sometimes, if you don't have very good field position, you're more worried about trying to get a couple first downs and have a good punt to change field position. And so it affects, I think, a little bit of your more timing throws, some of that stuff that's in that 7 to 12-yard window. Coming off a play pass and throwing the ball downfield, that doesn't change. But throwing those timing routes, trying to throw on time, it does affect that game. And the thing that I've noticed over the years in coaching, quarterbacks with big hands, those kids are great to have, those kids too. That really helps.
Before we let you go, the MIAA made some news yesterday with an announcement concerning an agreement with the GLVC conference with Southwest Baptist and Lincoln, moving over as an associate member there for football and staying in the conference with the rest of the sports. But it really seems like that, from a football standpoint, will simplify the schedule situation a little bit, where you can now crown a true champion once again beginning next year.
Yeah, I think so, John. I think, I think there's potentially some good out of it. I think there's potentially some bad out of it, too. I don't know. It's just we're going to have to wait and see. I know the positives for us that we get to keep, hopefully get to keep Arrowhead and Pittsburgh State on the schedule, which is huge for recruiting. So, we'll see. I just, myself, I'm just a little worried about the MIAA right now. And is this going to set a trend for other people that want to leave? And are we going to let people out for certain sports? And so, I don't know. Those decisions aren't up to me. But as a guy that's been involved in the MIAA for a long time, I'm a little concerned right now about that announcement. And I knew it was coming, but we'll just see how it goes. And I think it could be a great thing if everybody decides to stick around. But if we get one or two more teams wanting to jump ship on us here in a couple years, then you just really change the complexity of what we're trying to do as a league. And it's tough. It gets really tough then on trying to be a legitimate conference in the NCAA if you're losing members and how many you're going to fall to. So we'll see. I think for the most part it's going to be good, but it's like I told you a few years ago in the 14 teams, I said back then, I said, I don't know, we just kind of got to wait and see how it filters out. Be interesting.
All right, well, Coach, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you down in Tahlequah.
Okay, you guys be safe.
All right, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Doerr, with us this evening. We'll be back and wrap things up on another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing community opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development. More at MaryvilleMO.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from MTE Office Centers with locations in Maryville and Cameron. Providing computers, printing, networking furniture, and office supplies since 1935, MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, as always, want to thank all the people who've turned out for the show here at Carson's. And as we look around, one table's got a few less people here today. That apparently some people decided to go to Vegas this weekend.
You drove them off. Give me the chance to blame you, and I'll blame you. But yeah, no, it's great. It's always fun down here on Thursday nights at Carson's, and you know, I.